Talk Radio.
Welcome to Living a Richer Life, life-changing talk radio, a place where like-minded people from across the country come to listen, share, and learn from topics that deal with their health, wealth, hope, and prosperity. You can participate by sharing your comments or questions from the Richer Life blog page or chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/richerlife, or by using the phone to call in. Let's join the show.
Hello, I'm Charlotte Grant Cobb.
And I am Earl Cobb.
Welcome to another episode of our People Who Inspire Us series.
As we all know, inspirational people and inspirational thought provides energy and substance to our lives. Inspiration awakens us to new possibilities and transforms the way we perceive our own capabilities.
During this special series, we will share with you interviews with gifted authors and speakers who have messages that inspire a multitude of people from many walks of life.
And we are very happy to have with us tonight Tom Glaisher.
Tom is an inspiring author with a message that inspires happiness. Most of us don't need a formal definition of happiness. We know it when we feel it. And we often use the term happiness to describe a range of positive emotions, including joy, pride, contentment, and gratitude.
Now, Tom is a psychologist and a life coach with over 30 years of experience. He is the author of an Amazon.com bestseller titled Full Heart Living, Conversations with the Happiest People I Know. I had an opportunity to speak with Tom earlier this month, and let me share with you now the interview with Tom, and then we'll talk some more about happy people and how they inspire happiness. Hi, Tom. Welcome to Life Changing Talk Radio.
Hi, Earl. Thanks so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, good, good. Now, as you know, during this series, we're talking about people who inspire us. And tonight's topic is how happy people can actually inspire happiness. Now, we found that the messages in your book titled Full Heart Living provide some very interesting insight into happy people and why they are consistently happy. So why don't we start the interview with you by having you provide the audience a very brief summary of your book's message.
You got it. So I learned that the happiest people among us, the number one thing, Earl, is they are deeply connected with other people. They have great relationships, and they make the most of those relationships. That's number one. Number two is they are deeply connected with themselves. They know themselves, and they're mindful. They're in the present moment, so they're not distracted by the past or worried about the future. They're fully appreciating the here and the now. The third thing is they are deeply connected with their passions. They do things, Earl, that they love, and they do a lot of them. Now, particularly when they do all these things, connecting with others, connecting with themselves, connecting with their passions in the service of other people, boy, look out. That's where you'll get the biggest bang for your buck. When we're giving to others, that's when we come the most alive and when we are the happiest.
That's terrific. That's terrific. Now, would you share with us why you feel this message is important, particularly at this time, and to whom could really benefit from that message?
Yeah, I don't know anybody who couldn't. I think this message is so important at this time. You know, we're bombarded these days in the media and even in personal discussions with how divided our culture and our society is these days. And this work is really about overcoming those kinds of barriers. This is about connecting with ourselves, connecting more deeply with other people, finding ways to bridge these gaps. This is so essential now that we have respite from the negativity that surrounds us and that we find ways to overcome differences. I think it's essential.
You know, I really like the four points that you make. And when you think about connecting more deeply with others, I know throughout my life and my career and my family, when I think about connecting, they're different in terms of professionally or personally or, you know, that type of thing. Now, when you say connecting more deeply, what do you really mean there? And how would someone do that? Say, how could they say, well, I'm not connecting deeply now. How can I, you know, go deeper? How would you define that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a fantastic question. And it is the essence of the work that I'm doing now as I go out and do public speaking based on my book. It's really reminding people and sometimes even teaching people about how to listen. So one of the things I do is to ask people to just quietly remember the last time or the greatest time they felt deeply listened to and reflect on what the other person did. So just quietly get that image in your mind and then reflect. Well, think about it. That person was open. They were interested. They were curious. They made eye contact. They didn't interrupt me. They didn't tell their own story. They really allowed me to tell mine. So that's the first thing, is reminding us how to provide that undivided attention for other people without judgment, without jumping in, without thinking about what we're going to say next, but really providing a sounding board. And then the other thing is reminding people what to talk about things that are meaningful. And in fact, I'm encouraging people to talk about what makes them happy, what brings them alive. Here's what we know, both in research and in experience, is that happier people, it's contagious, Earl, right? When we're around happier people, we become happier. And when we're happier, we affect those around us. So if we can talk about those things and be with happier people, it's just such a win-win.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the idea of developing mindfulness, you know, I read a lot about mindfulness and I do a lot of research in that area. Some people may not understand the difference in, you know, being self-centered versus being mindful. Share a little of your insight there.
Yes, right. Oh, that's so counter to what it really means to be mindful. So mindfulness to me, it's about waking up. That's another way. And the people I interviewed for my book, they use different terms, like awareness, some of them used, or presence. But they all meant the same thing. And it just meant, they mean that we're in this moment. Like you and I, we're having this conversation. We're not distracted. We're not worrying about things that are to come or might not come. We're not fretting over what has already happened. We're fully in this moment. We are engaged in this conversation. We're listening to each other. We're talking about something that is meaningful to us. That's just one tiny little example. Another example might be as I eat my breakfast, my oatmeal with blueberries, really tasting those blueberries and experiencing them, not just reading the paper while I eat and thinking about what I'm reading in the paper, but really, you know, making the most of that precious food, the sustenance that we absolutely need. That's another example. So we don't miss out on the preciousness of these tiny, simple things that can actually really, again, bring us to life if we're awake to them.
Sorry. What's your source of inspiration?
Wow. Yeah, that is such a good question. The inspiration from my book was actually one of the hardest times of my adult life. I had my dream job, was going to retire at this job. Things changed. I lost my dream job in the midst of my grief. And I was not clinically depressed, but I was really sad. I noticed super happy people all around me. And so it's sort of like, you know, making lemonade out of lemons, right? It was one of the hardest times of my whole life, and I was inspired to talk to the happiest people in my life, and that just snowballed into this huge project with documentaries and a website and this book and even this conversation. So that's one source of inspiration, kind of ironically, that we can turn around, you know, trauma and difficulties. Otherwise, beyond that, I'm so inspired by everything around me. I'm inspired by people. I'm inspired by you, Earl. I'm inspired by, I'm looking up as we speak at the gorgeous blue sky, like the mystery of all that's out there. I'm inspired by the good deeds I see on a daily basis. I'm inspired by my dog. Again, I think we're getting back to mindfulness here.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
by waking up and noticing.
Right. All right.
You can find inspiration everywhere.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, I'm getting inspired just speaking with you, and we're so happy to have you as a part of the show. And what about your next work? What can people look for from Tom Glasser in the future?
Yeah, I have just completed interviews for a book on trauma and resilience, Earl. So
okay.
Very similar structure to my first book, which is also interview-based. And I'm in the process of really sifting through all the things I learned from these people who have experienced some of the hardest things any of us can imagine and are still thriving. And that's what I'm interested in now. It's kind of similar to what I was just talking about in my own experience. How do we, none of us is immune to challenges in life. So how do we harness the power of the things that most challenge us? That's what I'm interested in now.
Right. Yeah. Well, we will look forward to that next book. Hopefully it's out soon. And talking more about your book as we get into the rest of our show here. Tom, thanks again for joining us, and good luck, and keep being an inspiration to others.
You too, Earl. Thank you.
Okay, bye now.
Bye.
We are so glad to have Tom Glasser in the studio with us tonight. Tom, welcome to Life Changing Talk Radio.
Coming in here, let me ask you this first. You interviewed a number of people who you felt were happy. Now, what criteria did you use to select those individuals, and who actually turned out to be the happiest, or were they actually happy when you had a chance to meet with them?
Oh, yeah. Some of them heard about the project, Earl, and a couple of them nominated themselves. They were like, I heard you're doing this. And I got to be in that book. some of them, it's just kind of an impression that I had from having known them. It's just, wow, you know, you always seem to be in a good mood. You laugh. You're interested in people. You do interesting things. And then I asked them, do you see yourself as happy? And do other people tell you that you're happy? And then ultimately I thought, if I'm going to really do a formal project, I probably should back it up with a little bit of something kind of scientific. So I did ask everybody to take a couple of, inventories online just to make sure that they do appear happier or you know, record as happier than the average person. And all of them did.
Okay.
That's good. So, Tom, you said, you know, you did some research. Based on your research and conversations, how do happy people make other people happy?
It's so contagious, isn't it? Just think about it. What happens in your own mood when you're around happier people? When you're with laughing people in a good mood, unless we're really in a down spot, right, most of the time, our spirits naturally lift with theirs. It's
it's sort of the, what we sometimes call the mirror neurons, right? There's a brain thing that happens when we're around really happy people. Our very bodies, we know this now, we can study it with brain research and apparatus, right? We can measure and we can see certain parts of the brain begin to light up when we're with happier people. We kind of can't help it. You have to work to not be happy when you're around a happy person, right?
True. Very true. Very true.
You know, this sort of leads into an email that I got from Josie at Gmail. I assume it's a she, writes, I know people who seem so happy on the outside, but when you get to know them, they are so unhappy with themselves. Is it possible to be happy and unhappy at the same time?
Well, two answers to that, right? Sometimes people do surprise us, right? Sometimes people fake it. Or they're trying to fake it till they make it. That is, there's something to be said for that, right? That gets prescribed sometimes to us by wise people, and that can work. On the other hand, one of the things I learned from these interviews and my research is that happier people, first of all, they're not happy all the time. But they handle times when they're not happy in a way that others don't often do, and that is they embrace it. That's why I ended up calling the book or titling the book Full Heart Living. They embrace their whole heart. So if they're sad or mad, they don't fake it till they make it. They embrace it. They let themselves be mad. They figure out what's going on that needs to be changed in their life, and they take action on it. So they're opening to the fullness of life. The other thing I wanted to say in response to that email real quick is that I learned in the process of doing this project that sometimes I'm wrong. There are people who appear unhappy and to me, and it's just I'm reading it wrong. Like, you can't assume. That's one of the things I learned. For instance, there's somebody I know who, to me, is a huge complainer. So I just assume, because this person always points out the negative, blah, 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 this isn't going right, this isn't going right. And one day she said to me, God, this is the happiest I've ever been in my whole life. I'm really happy. And I was like, what? You are? You know? So you can't assume. Who am I to question that? Sure she's absolutely right. Now that I think about it, she had gone through some awful things. This is the best time of her whole life. She's happy. Great. Go for it. Complain all you
want. Yeah. I'm noticing, Charlotte, we're getting a lot of questions here. Like, here's John H. from Facebook saying, is happiness an emotion or a state of mind?
Wow. It's complicated, isn't it? And you were kind of alluding to this earlier. What I discovered is it's a very subjective term. And there are as many definitions as there are probably people on the planet. Yet, in every single culture, there is a word for happiness. So it does appear to be universal. And even for ourselves, as we grow and change and evolve through life, our own personal definition changes. So what made me happy or what I thought was happiness at age 16 is very different than now when I'm in my mid-50s, for instance.
Yes.
Right.
And it doesn't really matter. It's okay to not have a universal definition that we can all agree on. What we can all agree on is that we want to be happier. And it is the striving or the attempt to be happier, I think that motivates us in a positive way, generally speaking, and that's part of this experience on this plane at this time is to become happier, and that we can all agree on and all help each other towards.
One of the things I certainly notice is that unhappy people certainly don't inspire me. Okay.
Right.
So maybe right. there's something about just don't be unhappy, even if you mm-hmm. don't consider yourself happy. You know.
I think this thing
about inspiration is really the key, because when there's an opportunity to be yourself, and by being authentic and being yourself, someone can feel, whether it's happiness or whether it's confidence or whether it's energy around a topic or a subject or something like that. You know, it isn't something that people say. It's almost like you can feel happiness. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does. Yes, and that's part of why even I, after years now of delving into this, I still struggle to some degree to even answer your question. How did you find these people? Kind of like, I don't know. I just kind of sensed it.
Very good.
But what I want to say as a follow-up is, you know, happier people, in addition to spreading around happiness, helping other people feel better, happier people tend to not only be healthier physically, they do more good deeds. Happier people volunteer more. They donate more money, generally speaking. So it's really a good thing. It isn't just selfish to want to be happier. When we're happier, we are more generous.
I was going to say, and Tom, I know when you opened up, you were saying that one of the commonalities you found is that sense of giving in community. So you just echoed that.
Yeah, exactly. Community is very, very important in happiness. Relationships, as I was saying in the recorded mm-hmm. portion. Happier people have human bonds.
Mm-hmm. Right?
They're connected to other people, and that's really important to them, and they make the most of their relationships. And again, that's when better things happen interpersonally and on a broader scale. The more connected we are, the more good deeds that we do, the more positive things we do for the world and the planet. Comes back to what you were talking about, Earl, about authenticity. The more authentic we are, the more aligned we are with our values, the more likely
right.
we are, of course, to do good deeds in the world.
Right. Okay. Right. I think we got time for one more Facebook input here, and this is a very interesting one. He, Joseph, says that I have a friend who is rude and someone that you really don't want to be around. And I found out that when he does things that other people think are negative or bad, it makes him happy. So can you be happy and not necessarily inspirational or good?
Oh gosh,
that's
I
interesting.
Don't think
yeah.
so. Yeah. Mm. I mean, to me, that's assault, right? It just doesn't ring true to me.
Mm-hmm.
It might be at this time, based on series of events in this person's lives, or the way they came into the world, or some combination of those two things, he feels happier. He thinks he's happier when he does those things. But does that really mean the underlying mood? I don't believe
mm-hmm.
so. In my understanding of human nature, no. It just doesn't fit with my experience.
Right. Now think about this. Is happiness about me or about you? Right? So if happiness is about me being happy and me doing those things or feeling those things that make me not unhappy, if you put it that way, with a double negative, then is it possible for me to be happy, say, for example, satisfying my ego, where at the same time you're causing or things to happen that makes others very unhappy. So this idea of happiness, if it's personal and individual, then I think John here has somewhat of a point, right, in that someone can be happy doing very notorious things.
Again, I would question it, though. Yeah, it seems it's that false happiness, right? It's kind of that I'm thinking of the short-lived happiness that we experience when we, I don't know, go to the mall and buy a new shirt or a pair of shoes, right? Yeah, that lifts our spirit, but it's so temporary. It's so short-lived.
I see.
Long-lasting happiness comes when I spend time with my great-nephew, for instance, and bring them to the Children's Museum and help them put together a project on the activity table there, right? And I'm making me happy because that's something I really enjoy, and it's something they enjoy too. So it's back to the original part of the first part of your question, Earl, is it just about me or is it about other people? It truly is a both and. So again, when I'm doing things that I just adore, activities that bring me alive, performing, for instance, that's one of mine. I love to be on stage. It isn't just because I get applause at the end of the show and at the curtain call, though. It's the whole process of being in community, working together, as well as the energy exchange when on stage, right? You can feel it when the audience is responding to what you're presenting on stage. That's, again, a win-win. Uplifting spirit. My spirit is uplifted. Theirs are uplifted. So I'm in the service, not just of myself. It's in part for myself, but I'm part of all. I'm part of people. Right?
Right. Yep. Yeah.
Win-win.
And from my own personal point of view, I think what was being described there in the Facebook comment was more about satisfaction and not happiness. I mean, people can satisfy something that they want to do or how they feel, but that satisfaction is not necessarily happiness.
Yeah,
and
that is a good
with
point.
That, can you believe that we're almost out of time, Tom, with the show? Let me say thank you so much for taking the time to do the interview with us and to join us here tonight on the show. And again, Tom Glaser, Full Heart Living, Conversations with the Happiest People I Know. You can find it on Amazon or anywhere quality books are sold. And Tom, we look forward to that sequel, that next book, and your next visit to Life Changing Talk Radio.
Oh, I would love to come back. Thank you, Charlotte and Earl, for having me. What a pleasure.
Thank
it's our
you, Tom.
Pleasure. You take care and be happy.
Bye for now. That's
the Liz Grant Cobb, and thanks for tuning into Life Changing Talk Radio.
And I'm Earl Cobb. Now, don't forget to join us again next week as we present another one of those special people.
You've been listening to Living a Richer Life with Earl and Dr. Charlotte Grant Cobb. Thank you for joining us this evening, and we'll look forward to having you back again the same time next Thursday.